Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics every single week. We will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. It's kind of cool. If you want to read a book that I just started yesterday, it has the word consecration, but it's Jeremiah Johnson, and it's really good. And he's saying all the things that we've been teaching. I'm like, Lord, I don't need to write books. As soon as I finish teaching something, you already have somebody else who already wrote the book. And it's kind of cool because I didn't read the book first, but it's just confirmation. So I encourage you guys, you may want to get that. That Monday night group may want to do that next. But anyway, but he's just talking about in this encounter he had with God to write this book, the Lord asked him, so why should the bride, why should my people want to be consecrated or sanctified? And he said he never thought about that before. And the Lord just said, you should want to be like that so that you could be in a closer relationship with me. And we've all been talking about that. I'm looking, me and Karen were talking today, over 20 years. We've had a radio show out over 20 years called Here Comes the Bride. And just this whole focus of being made ready for Jesus Christ's return. Just this whole focus of being a perfected bride. We've done that for over 20 some years. And so it's like, Lord, you are really going to do this thing. So now's not the time to get caught up in the headlines of doomsday. I mean, God has not shown off yet, okay? God has not shown off yet. God has not brought forth his apostolic people yet. His apostolic people have not, they are not on the scene yet. Does anybody get what an apostolic people are going to look like? How many would like to be them? An apostolic people are going to be people who look like Jesus Christ and did exactly what he did. Has anybody seen that yet? Has anybody seen where they were all healed? Has anybody seen where thousands upon thousands were drawn by the authority and the power and the love of the preaching and signs and wonders followed that preaching and they were all healed? Has anyone really seen where he walked the earth and could go by a funeral and mess up the funeral by raising the kid up from the dead? Amen? Does everybody, I want us to get this vision so strong. Ooh, God just given me this. Maybe he didn't want me to read that. God, we got to get this vision. We got to have a vision of what it's going to look like when he shows off, right? He's been showing us on Sunday morning what's coming up for the next couple thousand years. He's like saying, don't worry, it's not even near over, okay? There's thousands of years I've got plans with you. And then we know it's for eternity. But now he's like, now, what does he want his final curtain, if you want to call it, on the church age? What does he want his final curtain on the church age to look like? Amen? From his perspective. In other words, when he says deep, deep darkness is going to cover the earth, how many are watching that? If you aren't, just turn on any news channel. Amen? And you don't have to go to the news channel. Listen to anything. It's just garbage everywhere. Amen? But then he says, but to arise and shine for the glory of the Lord, he wants to be seen. He wants to reveal the absolute opposite of what everybody's seeing. Amen? And he's only going to do it one way, through his church. Through his church. That's us. So we need to get this vision of why are we born this time and what are we supposed to do in this kind of darkness. I'm talking to the little kids, the medium kids, the old people. I won't point at anybody. Amen. Male, female, whatever color, it doesn't matter. What is he going to do? And it's got to look a lot more than just, it's awesome the things we're seeing. It's awesome believers getting together and worshiping and singing on the beaches and all that. That's awesome. It's really part of it. Amen. But I'm telling you what, I'm not going to be satisfied for anything we can do with our flesh. Amen. This thing that God wants to do, this apostolic thing that he wants to do before his return, is to look like Jesus. And so Jesus, you know, go study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see what that looks like. I really encourage everybody to do that. But I know what it looks like. It looks like they bring somebody to you in a lot of sin. Okay, so they'll bring somebody to try to test you. What would they do to us today? They would bring somebody who just went through surgery to change their gender. And they'd bring them in and prance them in and say, so what are you going to do about this? And he would look at them with the love of God. And you'd explain who God is with real authority and power. And when they would begin to weep and cry and let God heal that hurt and that place of confusion, a creative miracle would hit them and they would become exactly what God made them to be. I mean, I'm talking, we've got to get out of this little tiny thinking. Our God is so big. Our God is so amazingly big. Amen? We've got to see, oh, when we looked. One Friday night, we watched the video of what the elitists want to do and other great ideas with technology and medical breakthroughs and all this. How about we have some God breakthroughs? Amen. Amen? We don't have to put something in your brain to give you artificial intelligence. We'll let God heal your brain and give you creative ideas. Amen? Creative miracles. It is time to believe for creative miracles. It's time to believe for it. So, remember, I don't know, because God's got me preaching so much these days, but I think it was Sunday. We had that prophetic word, but I just remember Sunday when the Lord was telling everybody to just make him the first thing you think about, what you think about all day, you know, talk to in the night, this whole thing. And we're going to play that, not tonight, we'll play it on Sunday because Karen captured it and put one of her photos with it. But, and one of the things I remember, I don't remember if I was saying it led of the Lord, if it was, I was prophesying, I don't remember which. But I remember in that conversation or that meeting Sunday morning, the Lord saying, where it was difficult to minister before, he's opened an atmosphere where people are wide open. See, this is all supernatural. This isn't about how bright we are, how, you know, how much we say certain things. We are in a new season. The devil's not going to like God's new normal. Ho! Amen. The devil is not going to like God's new normal. Amen. God's new normal is we, God's people called by his name who have humbled ourselves, turned from our wicked ways. He's going to heal our land and he's going to use us to bring the revelation of who he is to this nation. Amen. To our families. So I want you to shake off all the times you've tried, but the grace wasn't there. All the conversations you've had, but you maybe planted a seed, but you never saw anything from it. Amen? I want you to shake all that off. I want you to really think, this is a brand new day, okay? This is a brand new day. God is doing things fast. The biggest thing he's showing us, it's not us. It's not us. It's not how long we pray or how we pray or how far. It's yieldedness to him and his will and what he's already won it. Amen? And him bringing us the faith to believe for it. So let's see what today's message is. So we're at Matthew 24. Somebody said we're at 15. Yes, 15. All right. 24:14 first, because this is what I was just kind of talking about. And this gospel of the kingdom, remember we're talking about that? The gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of did you accept Jesus Christ into your heart. That's the beginning of entering into the kingdom, right? And then when Holy Spirit comes in, that's literally the kingdom of God comes inside of you, amen? So that gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of his spiritual laws, the gospel of his power, the gospel of his wrath, of his judgment, of his goodness, the fullness of the kingdom of God is to be preached in all the earth for a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. I kind of think we're there. I think we're just at this place. The media, the social media, makes it so we can preach this gospel and the kingdom, not just the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but the actual kingdom. We can preach the kingdom message now to nations just sitting in our homes. Like this will go to, this teaching that we're doing right now is gonna go to Brazil, Uganda, Philippines, India, Canada, Israel, and the USA. So seven nations. And it'll go to about anywhere from 20 to 60,000 people will get it through social media. Of that, 5,000 to 10,000 will watch it. So it may not be a lot of people in here, but God's taking the message of his kingdom to the nations. Amen? And so think if everybody started doing that. Think if everybody really began. And by the way, that costs this ministry $10. $10. That, by the time I do 3 messages a week, it's $30 a week. But still, that's one radio spot costs you more than that for 15 minutes. And these aren't 15-minute messages. All right. So that's what I was just describing. What is this message of the kingdom that's going to come to all the earth? The message of the kingdom is going to have power. Amen? We have not seen power yet. We prayed today for a young man in this ministry that we love. And I'm telling you, I really believe that we had a breakthrough. I really believe that person got free from something that was trying to destroy that person's life. And it wasn't that long. It wasn't a really long prayer. So it's like, it's amazing. I want everybody to see, if you don't get it, that you're in a new season, then you're going to be acting as if you're in the old season. Amen? But you are in a new season. You're in a season where God is beginning to do things. The requirement for this season is that you love Jesus Christ and you want to be holy because he's holy. I'm going to tell you, in this season, hidden knowledge will not have any impact. But heart knowledge and relationship is going to change our nation. You know, I was praying this morning. I believe with all my heart, because God's people are humbling themselves and praying and people are really dealing with true issues, I believe that God is not going to allow the Antichrist system to get its grip on the U.S. in this next election. I really believe that. But do you know that doesn't solve that our nation is in a civil war? It's not going to get rid of all of that anger and hatred and 2 different visions for this nation. There's a righteous vision for this nation where there'll be justice and liberty for all, but that we're serving one God. Amen? That's God's vision. And then there's this globalist. I believe without question, the Babylon system and what we see in the scriptures where the Antichrist will rise up. We're going to see that in a second. It's the next verse we're getting to. And say he's God. And there's a whole system pushing that way with technology, with all the crazy stuff we're seeing, like overnight, right? So you're going to see these 2 things. It's really funny in that book I was telling you about, Jeremiah Johnson's book. Guess what he talks about in the first 2 chapters? The harlot bride of Babylon and the bride of Christ. Who was here two Sundays ago? I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, you are putting this message out there. He's putting this message out there. He's going to have that bride. And let me say this. Think about it. If God's going to have his bride fully in love with him, full of his power, full of authority, if he's going to have his bride, does anybody think that Babylon piece of junk of filth and garbage and pornography and mess and nothing but greed and hatred and all that is going to compare to the bride of Christ? We have got to get free from our hypocrisy. We've got to get free from our judgmentalness, our criticism, our garbage. Deal with our hearts. Let God deal with our hearts. Because when that bride shines, people, we are going to see a harvest. It's going to make the devil so mad. It's going to cause persecution because there's always going to be evil people who like their evil. The Bible says so. Jesus says, we're looking at in Revelation, and he goes, let the filthy stay filthy, but let the holy be holy. He's not trying to make everybody holy. He just wants the holy to stay holy and the filthy to look filthy so you can choose if you want to be holy or filthy. And the 2 are not going to look alike in the end. And right now, you're watching the devil try to make the holy look ridiculous. And who could be like that? I talked to a lady today. Their family's running the Oceanside Bliss house I have at Nag's Head. And I didn't know, you know, if they're Christian or not. The Lord's very good at bringing these awesome guests. So she's writing in there about can her daughters her daughter's boyfriend's coming, but she doesn't want him in the house with them. Can he sleep on the sun porch? And I'm like, yeah, that's perfect. And I said, that's how I would do it. You know, if my son brings a girlfriend, he's 30. she goes, it's so nice to see another mama who has values and a heart after God. And I've met this lady 5 seconds ago on, you know, texting back and forth about the house. And it's like, see, God is stirring. See, there's a stirring in us that we don't want to be filthy. If you're here on a Tuesday night, I promise you, you don't want to be filthy. Amen? But there's this separating it. Because how many knows, right now the church looks so much like the world and not the other way around. And I'm not talking outward appearance, and I'm not talking about what kind of music you like. I'm talking about really in their hearts, just acting like the world. But God is going to set us free from that. He's going to cause us to be in love with him. Amen. So his bride is going to be all about, his bride is not going to be some desperate thing begging to get out of here. Please, Lord, don't let me stay here any longer. It's so horrible. And it is going to be horrible, a lot of it. Amen. But his bride is not focused on this world. His bride is focused on his face. His bride is focused on his face. See, we're all still looking down. We're ruling and reigning in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He doesn't want us looking down. Why? Here we look down, and yet we still feel like we're defeated. People, I'm looking down from heavenly places. I'm looking down from being seated at the, you know, right beside the King of Kings. Amen? I'm ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus. How can I feel defeated? That's why we're seeing these miracles. Amen? We're believing for another miracle on I'm not going to say what is or anything right now, but we're believing for another big miracle on Monday. I believe we're going to get it. Amen? I just believe we're just kind of walking into a promised land of miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. You know what? We have gone through so much to reap the bad mess we sowed. Isn't it awesome to enter into a time to reap the good stuff we've sown? I don't know about you, but I have sown a lot of good stuff. Amen. I have sown a lot of good stuff. I have reaped the bad stuff. I have gone through the fire. I have repented. I have cried out. I have done everything crying out to be holy because he's holy. And now I want to enter into a season of reaping. I am not letting the devil steal it because the world has gone crazy because the devil's crazy. Amen. And so my eyes are going to look up. He says, look up. Your redemption draws nigh. He's like, hey, girl, get ready. Because as soon as the Spirit says you're ready and you're in complete agreement with the Spirit, I'm coming to get you. And he's not coming to get us to rescue us from the big bad devil because the big bad devil is under our feet. We're only still here after we get saved to be a light for others. That's why we're here. We're only here now to be a light for others. We're not here now because we have to go through a bunch of suffering. Because if I'm suffering and I'm dying to self and I'm leaning on my beloved and he becomes everything, then my suffering, I can count it joy. And you want to get to that being real. Amen? All right. Now, what we were just talking about, Matthew 24:15. Then when you see the abomination of desolation, that is when the Antichrist, this ruler, this one world ruler, says that he is God. That is what that is, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet. When you see him standing in the holy place, and it goes, the one who read this, let him understand. All right. Now we're talking about the 3.5 really bad years, remember, that we've been talking about in the book of Revelations, right? We are now talking about the years where there's the mark of the beast. Isn't it cool to see that Jesus talked about that? And it's in the book of Revelations. Would everybody completely get rid of the lie that we're going to dominate the earth so he can come back? Okay, it's still out there. It's starting to float around again. We're not going to dominate the earth. There's no way we're going to dominate the earth. He's not trying to make us dominate the earth. He wants us to shine to give people a choice. Do you want this bride? Do you want to be part of this bride? Or do you want to be part of this bride? You pick. He wants there to be an unbelievable, an unbelievable distinction between the two. What we're watching in America right now is God shaking everything that can be shaken so you can see the distinction. And the only way to get someone free from being part of the Babylon mess, the harlot, is salvation. A salvation where they get hungry for what they see in a people that you cannot make afraid of you, in a people who will die forgiving you, in a people who will not let hatred in their heart, no matter what your t-shirt says. A people who will not bow their knee to please man, but will become all things to all people that they might get saved. Amen. I'll be all things to all people. If God wants me to wear a face covering that says something I wouldn't even ever wear, but it's going to save somebody, I'll wear it. He's like, Cindy, stay above this, get 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 above this, so you can use this for my glory. The only way you really get above something is get it out of your heart. So somebody gets in your face, well, you're racist. See, I already know that I'm not. And I also know you're not my judge. And I also know I forgive you. And I also know that I'm going to pray for you. And I also know, now that you came against me, I have more authority to pray for you because I walk in a love that forgives you. That's powerful. I had so much more fun going shopping the other day with the 2020 chaos mask on. Because ever since we decided that we were going to release angels to go before everyone with a mask on, ho, and to begin to bring them, keep them from the virus, but also bring them into the right place with God, I can't but help smile as I see people running around afraid with a mask on, because I say, Lord, thank you for the angel in front of that one. Lord, thank you for the angel in front of that one. Lord, bring that one. Lord, get these masked people into church. Amen. And I begin to get faith that God will take it if I get above it and use it in a powerful way for his glory. Amen. That's how we're going to overcome, you guys. Sunday morning, we finally start the teaching on overcoming. Woohoo! I think. So far, have y'all noticed I'm actually preaching what I say I'm going to preach? That's like the first time in my life. You're like 30 some years of preaching and I'm actually doing the messages I say I'm going to be doing. So obviously, it's a new season. Amen? Oh, yay. All right. So when you see the abomination of desolation, how many know, hopefully we're not here? But if we are, or if somehow, see, I want to be prepared no matter what. I know that 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 the marriage supper of the Lamb is before his return. I know that. I can see that from Scripture. But I don't know if it's like the day before his return, or 3.5 years before his return. Some people would even say 7 years before his return. Although I know the believers are here and part of that because we're persecuted heavily because we won't bow our knees. So I'm kind of believing we're somewhere over here. So somewhere between the 3.5 years. But I kind of really believe, I really do believe this. I believe that we are out of here right about then because there's scripture saying that something holds that devil back from being able to say that and do that. And I think that something is the church. And it's, to me, somewhere around that 3.5 of those last years before Christ returned, God says, come on up here, girl. And girl means guys too, bride, come on. Those who are close to me, those with oil, half of my church with oil, come on up. Because the Father's going to spend 1,000 years preparing you to come down in the holy Jerusalem as the bride that's going to be a whole city. And if you really get into it, the ones who rule and reign with him during 1,000 years, they're the ones who get beheaded. And the Jews who come to Christ in the last, they're the ones who are ruling and reigning then, from what I can see in Revelations. It's like, well, where are we? I'm up there with Daddy, getting me ready. Can you imagine how awesome that'll be? Just go read about the Song of Solomon. But realize the Father himself is going to make me and make you and make the bride exactly what he wants for his son to dwell with forever. Woo-hoo, y'all can do what you want. I don't want to miss that bus out. Amen. I don't want to be a bridesmaid at that one. Amen. But the people will have different positions in heaven. That's one of the lies. Everybody's the same. No, you choose by your hunger. You choose by your thirst. You choose by your dedication. You choose by your desire to be with him. It doesn't mean you have to be old in the Lord. It means you have to be sold out. It means you have to be sold out. Whew. Now, so think about this. Now he's talking to these guys who just asked him, who are all Jews, right? His disciples. That's at the beginning of this. The disciples are saying, tell us when these things are going to be, right? Then when you see the abomination of desolation, which is spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, the one reading this, let him understand, then let those in Judea flee into the mountains. All right. The minute the Antichrist declares that he is God, all hell breaks loose on him wanting to destroy the Jews. The Jews absolutely know that that is a desecration. They know that is not God. That is not Jehovah. They've been blinded till now, okay? That's another reason you don't have to worry about the mark of the beast till after that, okay? So I'm not gonna say take a vaccine, not say a vaccine. I'm just gonna say I can take anything unless God tells me not to, and know that no poison shall harm me. If I help somebody go through chemotherapy, we go through it, but we declare in the name of Jesus, no poison shall harm them. When my son, when he was younger and he had to take meds that were supposed to make him be no taller than 4 feet tall, have diabetes and go blind, I would declare in the name of Jesus that no poison shall harm them. He's 6 foot tall, perfect vision, and has nothing close to diabetes or anything else. But had I said no to those meds when I didn't have the faith and God wasn't calling us to walk that way, he would not be alive today. Time to grow up. Time to grow up. It's okay to go to a doctor. Amen? It's just not, okay, we got to get free from pretended faith. Pretended faith is in my head. If I do this, if I do this, if I do that, then it's messing up my faith. I can do anything. Paul says, I can do all things. So it's not about what I'm doing. It's about what's going on in my heart while I'm doing it. No, not snap blatant sin. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking, get out of this head game about faith. Get out of this head game. I'm going to prove my faith because I'm not going to a doctor. You better go to a doctor if God's making you humble yourself and go to a doctor. But when you walk in there, you say, Lord, show me why I'm here. Show me what to do. Teach me your ways. Give me more time. I don't want the church bearing any more people with pretended faith saying the cancer isn't going to kill them when they got the cancer, but they won't be treated for the cancer that could have gone away. And that did not glorify God, and it did not make their family want Jesus Christ. At the same time, somebody going through chemo and all that mess and their hair falling out and they're feeling sick and they're throwing up and it's a horrible thing to watch, that's not God's will. But God's grace can be right there teaching them and showing them so they never have to fear that thing again. So you want to be changed in your trials, not more afraid, not less faith. We've done this so based on intellect and not based on relationship. The reason you can count it all joy and know you're not going to go there again is because you fall in love with Jesus and you hear Jesus and you walk with Jesus and he will not put you in bondage. Amen? It's not what you do, it's why you're doing what you're doing and if you can do it in faith. I always said, just do it in faith. Recognize you can't pretend you have faith you don't have. He's not asking you to. He's asking you to ask for grace for whatever you're in. Whatever you're in, you ask for grace. You just don't even understand how much you need grace. Grace is God's super, God, don't give me the definite grace. God's unmerited favor. Who said that? Grace is God's supernatural empowerment to bring about in your life everything he's promised you, everything he's promised. It's his supernatural power intervening in your situation to bring about your promises. And no, you can't earn it. You can't earn anything based on your works. But he'll show off how much faith is in you based on the works he does through you. Oh, I didn't know I was going to be able to preach so good tonight. It's grace. So when you see this happening, he's talking to these guys who just asked him. And he's talking to them now as to the Jews, but also to Christians, if there's Christians then living in that area. Why is he talking to Judea? Because the Antichrist is going to do this thing in where the temple is. He's going to do this in Israel, where the actual temple will be rebuilt, on the Temple Mount, right? So when this happens, there's going to come some kind of decree to begin to kill and murder the Jews, anyone who will not bow to this Antichrist and say he's God. And it's going to take off from there. And so what Jesus is saying, look, when this happens, run. Run to the mountains. If you're on the housetop, do not go in to take anything out of your house. In other words, you don't have time. Now, this will be hard for Americans. Come on. You know, if the whole house was blowing up, you try to grab a few things. You know what I mean? When they see those people coming out of those homes that are flooded, they got a few things. Even when I'm on a plane, I try to figure out, okay, they tell you you can't take anything with you, but if I put my phone here, and if I put my iPad here, and I can fit through that little window. I'll be all right. You know what I'm saying? Come on. I know I'm the only one. And Jesus said, hey, don't be stupid. Get out. They're coming for you. The one in the field, let him not turn back to take his garment. Oh, I think you need a sweater, Margaret. No, Margaret, run. Woe to the ones having a child in the womb and those with nursing babies. Why? It's going to be really hard for them to be fast enough, to get out of there enough, to run. Just in the Lord seeing this. Do y'all realize when the Lord says things like this, he's actually probably seeing it? He's actually seeing in the spirit what's going to be happening. And I'm sure it breaks his heart that they miss his visitation. And he's saying, no, this is what's going to happen. How many? Okay, let's just get over this, all right? We got to quit thinking with itchy ear preaching that we'll never suffer anything. We have to quit thinking that if we can say it and we can bind and we can loose and this and that and the other, we're never going to have to go through anything rough. Here is Jesus Christ seeing into the future while these guys are asking him what it's going to be like. And he's not talking to them. He's talking to what's going to be happening at that end time, right? And he's not saying, okay, when this happens, start binding and loosing. Find five scriptures and begin to use the sword. It doesn't mean you don't do those real things as he teaches your hands to war. Amen? It means God is the author and the finisher of this, and we are just the players in it. Amen? All right. Pray. There is something here, so you can pray this. And actually, if he tells you to pray something, it means you might be able to change this. Pray that your flight may not occur in winter or on the Sabbath. Everything's closed on the Sabbath. You'd be really, they'd know, they'd see you. They'd watch you running. In the winter, I'm guessing the weather's not good what their winter is, and it would just be harder to hide to the mountains. So he's saying, you can begin to pray this. He said, it's going to be harder if this thing comes in the winter on the Sabbath. You know what else that tells me? God's not showing the sun the day of this happening. Now here's what he says for them. For there will be great affliction. Okay, ready? Such has never happened from the beginning of the world until now and will never be again. Whew. Those last 3.5 years after the Antichrist. And I believe that when that leader who's a human being dies from the assassination attempt and then it looks as if he comes back to life, I somehow believe that Satan himself somehow got into that person's flesh, like Jesus Christ came in flesh. I'm not positive of that, but whatever happens, that Antichrist is a whole different being after he dies and comes back. Amen? So I think by then, I think up till then, you're looking at a human being who's completely deranged like Hitler was. And all of a sudden, I think you're looking at a whole new beast. Amen. I think you're really looking at the beast. Amen. You're looking at Satan, I think, possessing this body of this one that died. However all that works, I'm not going to get into it. I'm just saying something major happens after that. It says, think of this. The affliction is going to be so great. It's going to be worse than the days of Noah. It's going to be worse than any destruction. Sodom and Gomorrah, it's going to be worse than anything you can read in the Bible up to that chapter. And except that those days were shortened, not a single human being, not any flesh, which means animals too, would still be alive, would survive it. But on account of the elect, those days will be shortened. Because on account of those that still call on the name of Jesus, by this time it's going to be 144,000 Jews who are going to have a witness and be marked by God on the earth. I think he's talking about them. I mean, if the church is still here, he could be talking about the church. I personally don't believe the bride part of the church will still be here. But if I'm wrong, oh well, okay, I'll be whatever. You can't make this up. You just be prepared, right? Like, be looking so you don't miss it. But wouldn't it be sad to miss it because you have a wrong doctrine and then you're going to get what you believed? So I just want to cover everything, you know what I'm saying? Lord help. But on account of the elect, those days will be shortened. Then, if anyone says to you, okay, so he's saying during that 3.5 years, there is going to be counterfeit people saying they've seen the Messiah. If anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, here, do not believe. For false Christs and false prophets will rise up. They will give great signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I tell you beforehand. Then if they say to you, behold, he's in the wilderness, do not go out. Behold, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe. No, he's going to tell you now. So I still believe he's talking about the 3.5 years, right? He's talking about the 3.5 years. Doesn't it help to kind of see, because we've always made this so general and it could be anywhere and all times. And it's like, okay, so those 3.5 years. So if you're talking to loved ones who don't have oil, maybe they're saved, but they don't have oil. Help them to understand this. Just help them to understand this. Look, it's only 3.5 years. This will be the start of it. This is what's going to happen. That's when they're going to have the mark of the beast. You can't buy or sell. It's going to be hard to say no to that. But I promise you, if you don't take that beast and you call on the name of the Lord, you'll probably die during the enemy trying to, but it's only 3.5 years. And then you'll be one of those who will come and rule and reign with Christ. Amen. Help them. You need to have people to know. Otherwise, what are they going to do? I missed it. The whole church is gone. I must be going to hell. What does it matter? You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, we've got to prepare people. This is the time to prepare people. And hopefully all of our kids will be part of that bride. Amen. All right. But he says, don't believe it when they say they're seeing me everywhere. For as the lightning comes forth from the east and shines as far as the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For wherever the dead body may be, there the eagles will be gathered. I actually like when they translate that vultures, and most translations do. And why? Because I think I finally, after years of praying, got the revelation for that. Vultures just know when something's about to die. Like sometimes when Edie and I are kayaking, we must not look very safe. And it doesn't seem long before vultures are circling over us. I was like, maybe we need to stay in our boats. But basically, they just seem to know when something's about to go down. And so I believe what the Lord is saying. Look, when they know, you'll know. I think he's saying, look, you'll know when I'm about to come. Just like a vulture knows when there's about to be a dead body, you're going to know when I'm returning. Those who are here, you're going to know. Immediately after the affliction of those days, the sun will be dark and the moon will not give her light. The stars will fall from the heavens and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Whew. There's a rumba going on now. What you're looking at now is Jesus. Now, he didn't say he came yet. Remember, he just told us what it's going to be like. So he's telling us, look, in this 3.5 years, run and hide, run and hide, run and hide. And I believe that word really is for those in Judea. But I would say this, if anybody's still alive and you can hide, right? If you were lukewarm and this is you being spit out of the mouth of the Lord, if you got saved because all of a sudden you believe your mama and your daddy and you cry out to Jesus, then I still say go hide, okay? Go. You don't live in Judea, but they're going to still try to make you worship this beast, right? So just hide. So he's saying go hide, just hide. You're on your own now, go hide, all right? During that same time, there's going to rise up all this false spirituality, signs and wonders. It's going to be a crazy time. And who knows what the media will be like. If it's soon, it'll be like it is now. But who knows what kind of things they'll have. And they'll be showing this and interviewing this and saying we've seen this. And all this stuff is going to be going on. It's going to be a wild time. The whole time you got this crazy guy trying to kill everybody who won't bow to him. You got all this crazy religious stuff happening with the false prophet. And I believe in the scripture, you're watching Jesus come. And so as the heavens getting closer to earth, as he's coming down, the devils are being thrown out of the heaven. Amen? They're being thrown out of what we call the heaven. Not the heaven where God is, not third heaven, but the middle heaven. And so as the power of God and the angels are coming down and everything's coming down, they are being thrown to the earth. And you can read, and we'll get into this in the book of Revelations, the horrible things are going to be hitting the earth during that time. So can you kind of see this isn't just the enemy. This is God's wrath. This is God's wrath. That's what he calls it. It's like, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. I'm going to destroy the enemy. It's going to be all out evil being poured out. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens. And then all the tribes of the land will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and much glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the heavens and their ends. All right, this is why a lot of people believe we're here all the way to the end. Okay, this is why Mike Bickle and different ones preach that we're here all the way to the end, because he comes and he sends angels to gather the elect, right? But I believe, because I already saw that there's a marriage supper in heaven before this, right? I've already seen that in scripture. So why can't it just be the elect that are here then? Why can't it be those 144,000 Jews and whatever believers are here? And if we have loved ones that were saved but weren't living for God and they were here during that 3.5 years, amen? But now they survived, they hid, they made the way, and God's going to go and gather them all, okay? That's what I believe. Doesn't matter. Well, if we're part of it, then fine. Whatever it is, right? And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens. All the tribes of the land will wail. They will see the Son of Man coming out of the clouds with power and much glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They will gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the heavens to their ends. Learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and it puts out leaves, you know that summer is near. So also you, when you see all these things, know that is near at the doors. That's why we're reading this now. How many know we've seen a lot of these things? How many know we've seen a lot of these things and we've got to recognize that he's coming soon? And that's what he teaches us. Truly I say to you, in no way will this generation pass away until all these things have occurred. What is he saying? A generation, some people say it's 40 years, some people say it's 80 years. Okay, I don't get into details, but somewhere between 40 and 80 years from when this all really begins, it's all going to be over. But there's still a pretty long time, right? So the truth is what we're seeing now, he could say, okay, when you start seeing this, know that generation's, so that would be the people born at that time. which really gives you a window of 40 to 80 years. That could be sooner, right? It says they won't pass away. It doesn't mean it can't be 10. But I want you to get this so everybody's not acting goofy and not doing anything and maturing and growing. And instead, we're all just traveling the world because we're out of here soon anyway. Let's get as much debt as we can. And then we find out, you know, no, you still got 40 years, you nut, you know. Amen. So God knows human nature. Okay. So it's like he's still, a generation's a long time. That all this is going to be happening, but that generation will not pass away when you really begin to see these things happening. Because you know, if he said, okay, within 5 years I'll be back, everybody would be like, ooh, we're going to live different. But 40 years, maybe 80 years, dang, I won't be here, people. Or that will be a miracle, one I'm not looking for. Truly I say to you, in no way will this generation pass away until all these things have occurred. The heaven and the earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, never. But as to that day and that hour, and he's talking about the day and the hour that he burst through those clouds, no one knows, not the angels of heaven, only my Father. Okay, but he's going to give us another indicator of what it's going to be like. This is a really good indicator to me that those who think we're going to turn the whole world around with peace and happiness and joy and love and love, and now the world is great, Jesus come back. And if you know, there's people who are very powerful in the prophetic, people who are friends of mine either, you know, that believe this. And it's a really itchy ear doctrine that's gotten out there. But this kind of ends it when Jesus says, but as the days of Noah, all of that ends it, doesn't it? That did not sound like a happy, happy, the church took over kind of thing before Christ returns. Did anybody see in there a dominating church before he returns? Did you kind of see a mess? Like an extreme mess? Like we're in preview mess, you know, right now? So that's what Jesus says. Whenever you want to understand scripture and not get into error, see what Jesus said first. Why? Because he is the cornerstone. He's what holds it all together. Amen? So always go by what he says first. All right? All right. What are you guys laughing at? Yeah. Hey, you know what, though? Yeah. I can't wait till... who's got that movie? Mel Gibson? Oh, my gosh. I think the enemy's trying to keep this virus thing around to stop Mel Gibson's movie from getting out there. But I'm going to tell you what, I think God's got this thing so time. Everybody's going to be so sick of the violence, sick of the hate, sick, you know, it's like, what, would all you people who are acting crazy just come chill at the beach with the rest of us who are sitting there, white people next to black people and families that are mixed? It's too late to tell them they're racist. My gosh, they got so much. If you live around here, we already have so much mixture of different blood. Who cares? You know, we do our DNA thing, and Ancestry has a hard time figuring us out. You know what I mean? It's like, dang, it's too late to tell us we hate each other. Everybody's married and together and at the same thing. This church, I don't know about today, our church, one time a few years ago, what are the children in this church? What's the major race or whatever? It was interracial. We had more interracial children in this church than any other race in this church. We're a small church, but we have people who are Filipino. We have people who are Egyptian. And when I say interracial, it doesn't just mean black and white. We've got Korean and black and then part Indian and this and that. And we are just such a mixture for such a small church. It's amazing. It's supernatural, to be quite honest. It's pretty funny. It's too late to tell us we hate each other. We've already busted through that. We found out we don't. We hate evil, but we just help each other get that out. Amen? And it's like, you sit on the beach, it's like, okay, put all your riot and bad t-shirts away. Let's all go sit out here and be polite to each other. It's almost like everybody's apologizing for how crazy everybody else has gotten. Real, I mean, I'm serious, if you go somewhere, it's kind of pleasant when you turn off TV. If nobody was watching TV, we wouldn't even know there was this exaggerated virus. We wouldn't even know that people were this, that, and the other unless you live in one of those places. And then you go and take authority. I'm going to tell you what. This is the time to take authority. Come on, people. We live right near Colonial Williamsburg. And they cannot touch that place because we've been praying. You know good and well, if anything would be closed down, that would be closed down. And they can't get near it. And I'm telling you, we went and did that thing. We went and to where there's a sign with the slave names, and we're going to be doing something with that Friday night here during intercession. But we got to go up. We got to go up to Colonial Williamsburg one day after church, okay? We just got to go. We got to go up there all together and change the atmosphere. Because somebody told me they were all mad. Somebody's in their face. Bow down if you're all this, you know, stuff. And I'm thinking, wouldn't it be kind of fun to kind of go and sit there and say, I bind that in the name of Jesus Christ, and watch the people go like, this is what's happening? I keep seeing it. We got to do it. We may have to get the secret squad. They wouldn't know who we were, you know. They're kind of old, kind of young. They got put those masks on. I put a mask on. I had to go to the doctor appointment. He said they thought I was way under my age. Then I took the mask off. Ooh, wrinkles. They're like, never mind. He put the mask back on. I mean, dang. Anyhow. You can go out with no makeup, just wear those sunglasses and a mask, big glasses and a mask. Like, you don't even know I didn't put any makeup on today. Anyhow, just don't make it the new you, okay? Because one day those masks are coming off and everybody's going to see. Like, oh. Anyway, okay, back to the serious stuff. All right, so if I want to know what's it going to be like when he returns, is the whole world going to be a peaceful, wonderful place because the church has rose up as sons and daughters? No, that's a false doctrine. Okay? Does it mean that we don't rise up and shine? Does it mean that God cannot have a powerful representation of him, of people who love when they're hated? Of people who forgive when they're hated, of people who will lay down their life for someone else. This is a different kingdom, you guys. This is a different kingdom we're in, amen? And that kingdom is so opposite of this kingdom of the enemy, amen? And so God's like, where are my kingdom people? Where are the people like Stephen that why they're killing you? At a protest, you look up and you see Jesus standing up for you. And the glory of God fills you. And you're like, oh my goodness. And you say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And everybody leaves there going, what was it about that guy? I can't even sleep anymore. I don't know what happened. Paul, one of the most powerful apostles who wrote more books of the Bible than probably any other one person or letters. He got saved. He basically got drawn to truth. He got shook up from his peaceful, horrific protests killing Christians because he watched how Stephen died. But I don't feel bad for Stephen. Jesus doesn't stand up that often. I just tell this little story because God lets me taste some of this stuff for such a time as this. And there was a time I was being really persecuted in a church. I was called false. They tried to kill me and all this stuff with fire. No kidding. It was wild. I was like in shock. So I went to this service and this big church service was in revival. And while I was worshiping, and I was just asking, Lord, you know, heal me where they try to kill me and hurt my reputation, all this stuff. I've already been through so much. My daughter had gone to be with the Lord just probably a year or so before that or something in that time frame. And so I'm like praying. And all of a sudden, I look up and I saw Jesus stand up by the Father with my eyes. It was an open vision. I've only had a couple of those. And it was 2 seconds of seeing it. I was flat out on the floor. I was sobbing. I was crying so hard. I was sobbing. Everybody around me just thought it had to do with my daughter going to be with the Lord. It had nothing to do with that. It had to do with seeing him. And he knew I was just persecuted for righteousness' sake. He knew it was the beginning of the kind of persecution that we're all going to be facing, and that he's going to stand up and cheer us on. He's going to be there looking on, because we are willing to lay down our lives for him and our reputations for him, and not fight for what we think. Amen? We're going to know who we are in Christ. We're not going to let anyone be our judge. See, it doesn't bother me when people send me these posts and they're like, oh, it's like, you don't get it. I know him. Amen. I know this one named Jesus. Amen. And the Jesus I know isn't of my own imagination. He's the exact same Jesus that's in this word. He's the exact same Jesus that's in this word. And he changes my heart. I don't try to change him into my likeness. I let him change me into his likeness. I'm the one repenting. I'm the one being changed. I'm the one asking forgiveness. Amen? And then you know it's the real deal. So what does he say it's going to be like before his return? And Jesus says, but as the days of Noah, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as they were in the days before the flood, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah went into the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Well, if the Lord goes through the trouble to actually give us the name of Noah, then you need to go look at everything about Noah's day. You will see that there was perversion, sexual perversion, like you've never seen before. You will see that there was a lot of people in relationships that were perverted. You will see there was a lot of violence. Everybody was mocking and making fun of Noah as he prepared an ark, which nobody had any idea. They did everything they can to make him stop. If Jesus said it's as the days of Noah, how many know that the enemy is going to use everybody and everything he can, even people in the church, to stop us from preparing, to stop us from, who, they've been saying this forever. And it doesn't matter. I've got to be closer to his return than I was before. Amen? And the truth is, if he returns in my lifetime, I want to be ready. And if he doesn't return in my lifetime, it's okay. I will still be there. I still needed to get ready. Amen. I want to be ready whether I get to be raptured or not. I want to be ready because I will stand before him face to face, and I will either qualify as one who has oil or I won't. Amen. So what's the difference? People fight over stuff that makes no difference. It doesn't really matter if your heart's right, if you're just trying to just figure things out to get in. I'm not just trying to, it doesn't matter to me. If he comes then, if I die first, if he comes in the middle, if he comes at the end, it doesn't matter to me. But I want to know what his word says. I want to teach what his word says. I am not going to take away or add to anything in the book of Revelations because I don't want those plagues. I mean, that's a bad sounding stuff if you mess with the book of Revelations. And you got people who are messing with the book of Revelations, and we need to pray that they get free from their spirit of error and repent so they can stop those plagues. Amen? So it's going to be like the days of Noah. Another thing he's talking about here, one thing he means here is, guess what it sounds like? It's going to be like any other day. Any other day where there's wickedness, any other day where there's all this strife and all this mess going on. But when I say any other day, well, this part's a little bit good, right? It means people are still going to be getting married. Hopefully some of them will be men and women, men to women and women to men. Amen. But they're still going to be going to work. There's going to be a normal life still going on when he returns. So don't think, well, I'll look for this when there's no normal life going on anymore. No, he says, no, it's going to be like the days of Noah. Most people will not know that I'm coming back. You know, with the days of Noah and what we're watching now, it means you get used to it. You get used to the craziness. You get used to the violence. You get used to the perversion. You get used to the garbage. Amen? You just get used to it. So you just go about your life getting used to it. How many know that's what they're trying to tell us is the new normal?
Just get used to it.
Well, I got a new normal. It's called raising the dead, healing the sick. Yeah. Amen. It's called walking with Jesus in a powerful way so people know how real he is and see if they want him. Amen. It's called being a Christian filled with the Holy Spirit and power. And he then goes on to tell us at his coming, and people can say this, how I'm just going to read it. And they did not know until the flood came and took all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. At that time, so this is when he comes, two will be out in the field, one is taken away and one is left. Now this is where people get the idea of rapture. So, I don't know. For one thing, by this time, it's gotten pretty bad. This could very well be that we are here almost to the very end for the marriage, if that's what this is, right? It could also mean, from what we've read, that he's already had the marriage supper of the Lamb, and now he comes and he pulls those out before he releases all his wrath. I don't know. I just know what it says. But he does tell us this. It's going to be like this. Two will be out in the field. Two will be working. One's going to be taken away. One is left. Two will be grinding at the mill. One's taken. One's left. Watch then, for you do not know in what hour your Lord comes. So obviously, there is a coming of the Lord where people are going to be taken and others left. Now, some people, I've just found this out recently, say, oh, that's because they're going to take some to judge them, and some will be arrested, and some will be, I don't. When I look at the word taken, it actually means to be the same kind of word like when Elijah was taken. So the Lord, isn't he very good at not letting us know exactly when and how much we're going to go through so we'll be prepared? Amen? But somewhere in there, when it's getting really rough and it's like the days of Noah and people are having a normal life still, he's going to come and some will be taken and some will be left. Now, I'm not trying to prove anything because these things you can't really prove. But this could be before he comes through the clouds, because we know when that happens, he's at Armageddon. We know when that happens, he speaks from his word, right? His sword goes out from his mouth and he destroys. And if you get into some other scriptures, it looks like there's a nuclear war. That's all right. It looks like there's a nuclear war going on, right? So could there be another, what he's talking about here is that when he comes for his bride, she disappears, he disappears, she disappears, he disappears. And it's going to be like the days of Noah when that happens. The world all around is going to be filthy and horrible, but it's going to be normal. Life is normal. So he says, watch. So we know that. Then, because you do not know what hour your Lord comes. But know this. Right, know this. He wants you to know this. You don't know when he's coming, but you know this. That if the housemaster had known at what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be dug through. Because of this, you also be ready, for in that hour you think not the Son of Man comes. What he's saying there is, if you know, and let me say this, this is kind of a scripture that says God thinks you should be able to protect your stuff. Like it's human nature, right? Because he's saying this like it's a normal fact. That if you know a thief is coming, you're going to do what you have to do so the thief doesn't get into your house. So how many know that this stuff that let people just come and walk all over your property and try to bust through your house and take charge in your businesses and all, that's not a God idea, right? But think of it a little bit too, if God was trying to put some little clues in here, that he might be saying here, look, before I come and I take one and I take another and I do this thing where you get taken away, hint, hint, there's going to be people trying to break in your houses. There's going to be something crazy going on where people are going to think all of a sudden it's okay to break in your house. And so if you know that that's about to happen, You ought to be watching. If you've been watching some of the news I've been watching lately, I'm going to start watching. How many get excited to know we don't know at what point of this crazies he's going to get us? And he does not tell us. There is enough ways he does this to think, okay, well, this looks like we could be here till it's all but all over. Now he's kind of telling me that, wait a minute, it could be normal looking days, except a lot of filth going on. And now there's a little clue in there I wouldn't have thought about before until I saw the people with guns in front of their house, because people are saying, that's going to be my bedroom and that's going to be my house and I'm going to be in your house. And everybody's fighting over if they had a right to protect their property and not let the thieves in. According to the word of God, they had the right. Just saying. But if God uses that as an indicator, because he knew what CNN was going to be showing on the news right now, then we might get real excited about being prepared. Because how many know God knows everything? Nothing's going to surprise him. And we might be amazed at how much stuff he's placed in here that we wouldn't even be able to understand until it's time to understand. So he goes on. Because of this, you be ready. For in that hour you think not, the Son of Man comes. Wouldn't it be awesome if he came tonight? Just make sure everybody you know who's not right, don't tell them not to take the mark of the beast, all right? I'm not really wanting to stay around much longer, honey, but here, know this. Listen to, see this, now they have things on USB, whatever. Go to my YouTube channel really fast and look these up, because I'm ready to get out of here. Amen? And not you won't get out of here because you're trying to escape. You'll get out of here because you're shining. Amen. Okay? Because you're shining. But if I'm shining, I sure don't mind escaping. Amen? I'm not going to pretend I want to be here and watch all this and see all this death and all this stuff that it talks about, especially next 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now, we get into the book of Revelation and you really see what's going to be happening and you're going to realize what we're going through in the chaos of 2020 isn't much. Then it's okay to recognize, hey, don't leave me out of this wedding party, Jesus. Now listen to what he says. Ooh, this is so good. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has set over his household to give them the food in season? Are you that good and faithful? See, I'm going to be that servant, okay? That's why I'm preaching this now. That's why I am preaching this now. That's why God is showing me these things now, because I'm going to be that good, faithful servant that's going to give you the food you need in this season. But let me tell you what, you can be that too. You can make sure your children know. You can make sure your neighbors know. You can begin to pray. Don't do it in a fear way. Do it in an excitement. The thing is, make them jealous. Like when I talk to someone who I know is saved, but they're not living it, I'm like, hey, I know you don't want to hear this, but that's all right. I just got to tell you, just let me tell you this, because God showed me this. Just in case you don't get it together between now and when he takes his bride away, then you'll be left for this mark of the beast thing. Now, all I'm telling you is when that happens, don't take it, because here's what happens if you take it. Wait a minute, I'm going to, no, you're not living like you got oil, but you got the choice not to have oil. That's not my business. He says, even if you prophesy, he doesn't know you. You're not close to him. You're not intimate with him. He doesn't know you, okay? So you're not going to be the bride, all right? Just get over it. It's all right. You just got to get hungry for that. It's okay. Go ahead and keep building your business and running around doing all that crazy stuff. That's good. Just remember what I'm saying. I really care about you. So don't take that mark of the beast, all right? Quit begging everybody. Amen. Quit begging. God didn't beg everybody. Just tell them straight. This would be a great conversation, your next supper. Hey, everybody, I just want y'all to know something. You. You know you don't got oil. You know you're still doing this and doing that and sleeping around and this, the other, and all that. I love you unconditionally. God loves you unconditionally. I'm going to pray that you will make it into heaven. But I'm getting a little concerned that you might not make it in on the first trip out. So I just want to tell you something. Now, I'm not trying to argue. Don't worry. I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you because I love you. Don't take the mark of the beast. Here's how it works. Good night. Love you all, everyone. When Jesus is ready to barf you out of his mouth, it's going to look rough, all right? But he's doing it because he loves you. So don't take that mark of the beast. Instead of, please get right with God. Please, you've got to quit doing it. I got this. I just got this. Post this on Facebook. So I'm saying, hey, everybody out there. Just don't take that mark of the beast. No, it's not a vaccine for the chaos 2020. It's not time yet, okay? I'm not talking about us all like crazy nutty. Let's just wait and get persecuted for righteousness' sake, not nuttyhood's sake. Amen? Make everybody go, wait a minute. What are you talking about? You think I'll be here and you won't be here? Well, I'm not absolutely 100% positive I won't be here, but I do know I'll be protected if I am here because his wrath can't come on me. The Bible says so. But I got this indicator that there's this wedding supper of the Lamb, and it's going to happen right before a lot of this really bad stuff, you know, is going on. So I think I'm going to be out of here. But don't you worry about that. Yes, you're so smart. Your business is doing so good. All I'm saying, I'm not trying to have an argument. I just want you not to take this mark, okay? Just do this for me, okay? I really, because eternity's a long time. Hell is really horrible, and I know you don't like to hear about it, but it's real and it's horrible. Really hate to see you thrown in there. That'd be terrible. You know, they got worms crawling through you and there's fires all the time, and you never, ever get peace ever for a second again in your life. Not good. But if you want to stay here for the wrath of the Lord, and you gotta go see what happens during then go ahead. Just don't take that mark of the beast. Okay, they're gonna kill you. But just know you'll land in heaven if you're, you know, Jesus is still in there. But if you take that mark, you can't change your mind after that. So really be serious about that. Amen? And mean it. Because it's true. This isn't kidding. This is the be sober. Be sober part. Pretty soon they'll be calling each other. Did she really say that? I'm always like, well, just go look it up in the Bible. You're smart. Don't do it in a condemning way. Do it in a matter of fact. Oh, pass the rolls. Did you like the chicken? Fried it just for you. And my husband would be, anybody want this last piece of pizza? That we ordered out. All right, anyway. So he goes on. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom in his Lord has set over his household to give them food in season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord shall find doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his substance. But if that wicked slave says in his heart, my God delays to come, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the ones drinking, the Lord of that slave will come in a day in which he does not expect, in an hour in which he does not know, will cut him in two, and will appoint his portion with the hypocrites. We did teaching on that. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What is God saying here? God's saying, hey, for all you smart Alex who think you can live like the devil up to the day you die, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to repent right before you die, it's not going to happen. What is God saying? When you get into this season, he's not playing games. He's not playing games. You need to make sure your loved ones know he's not playing games. You need to know yourself he's not playing games. It's time to recognize there's the severity of the Lord. There is a severity of the Lord. You need to let the lovebirds know, hey, if you're fornicating on the day he comes, you ain't going. So get real. But also if you're lying, if you're cheating, if you're stealing, in And he's not asking you to figure out how to do this. He's asking you to give yourself to him and let him give you the grace to live a life that glorifies him. Amen? And get rid of the thinking that everybody's saved and everybody's going to be the bride and everybody gets to go, no matter how. He says, I'm going to barf you out of my mouth. That's not the one thing I want. Jesus, I love you, but please don't vomit me out of your mouth. That does, you know, if you think about it, it says we're in him and he's in us, right? So if we're in him, which to me means you're saved, and he throws you up out of his mouth, that does not sound good. That's talking to believers. So on that happy note, no. You know, Matthew, well, we got a little bit more time. Let's go look. There's a parallel to this in Luke. Where is it at? Anybody know? So then in Luke 12, let's just see if he adds anything in there that will give us a little more. Look at, this is too good. Let me just do this real fast. Ha ha. We have a half hour. 12:1. At which time the crowds will be gathered together so as to trample on one another. He began to say to his disciples first, take heed to yourselves of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. We did a whole teaching on hypocrisy. There is nothing which has been, now listen to this, this is powerful. There is nothing which has been completely concealed, which will not be uncovered, nor hidden, which will not be made known. This is the scriptures you pray over a nation that's corrupt. These are the scriptures you should be praying right now. Lord, whatever is hidden, bring it out in the open. Now, I will say this, if someone's really repentant and the blood of Christ has washed that clean, then there's really repentance and the blood of Christ washing that clean. Amen? But this is talking about those hidden things, those things done in hidden that have never come under the blood of Christ that they think they're getting away with. Therefore, whatever you said in darkness will be heard in the light. Whatever you spoke in the ear in the secret rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. How many are watching this happen? Some of the stuff in the news is about to expose things that were done in darkness that supposedly there's videos and all of that they say it's going to be proclaimed on the housetops. But I say to you, my friends, stop being afraid of the ones that can kill the body, and after this they have nothing else they can do. But I will warn you whom you should fear. Fear the one whom after the killing has authority to cast you into hell. Yes, I say to fear that one. Whoa. Jesus is talking about hell being a place that you get cast into by God if you don't live for God. Why don't we preach about it? Amen. Jesus does. And then he goes on, are not five sparrows sold for two, let's just say pennies, and not one of them has been forgotten before God, but even the hairs of your head have all been numbered. Then stop being afraid. You differ much from sparrows. But I say to you, everyone who may confess me before men, now look at this, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will also confess him before the angels of God. We need to start confessing that we know Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We need to start confessing it. We need to wear the t-shirts if you want, get the bumper sticker, whatever. We need to confess that we know Jesus Christ. Think of it this way. As you confess that you know him, that you belong to him, that he's real, not in a haughty way, in a sincere way, like he's a good friend of yours. Amen. Or you're his servant, whatever. But think of this. He says, if you do that, if you confess me, if you openly admit that you know me and walk with me, I'm going to confess you before the angels in heaven. I'm going to say, what does that mean? Hey, I want you to come meet Cindy. Michael, Gabriel, come over here. This is Cindy. Remember? She's the one who had that prayer meeting and that group released you to go after all that mess. Remember that? And hey, come here. See all these angels here? Hey, you guys, this is Cindy. This is Rosa. This is Rita. This is Margaret. This is Ryan. This is Stanley. Do you see what I'm saying? He's like, you confess me before men, and when you get here, I'm gonna introduce you to all the angels. I'm gonna say, hey, she's the one. He's the one. See, there's so much more to all of this, you guys. There's so much more to all of this. God is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. You will never outdo him. Amen. But when you hide and act like you're not even a Christian, or you use it from the wrong spirit, that doesn't count for anything. That turns people off. That's a hypocrite. Amen? But when it's a sincere, you love Jesus, you know he's real, and you're confessing him, and you're so excited about him, and you want others to know him, no matter what they do to rain on your parade, Jesus says, don't worry about it. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to introduce you to some angels. And I might not be, you know, I'm going to be confessing him more. I want to meet more angels when I get up there. He goes, come on, girl, we're going to go on our little tour and introduce you to the angels. Let's see, you confessed me that time. Some people get up there and they never said his name once to anybody. What line are you in? I'm in the line to go see how many angels I'm going to be introduced to. They just skip my name. I'm glad I'm up here. Glad I'm up here. And people giving out business cards. Well, I know that. Y'all can do what you want. I am going to be introduced to angels. I am more determined than ever to be introduced to a lot of angels. Amen? Amen. You will not be able to shut me up anymore. I'll be standing like the grocery store. Jesus Christ is Lord. I love my cell phone when it goes off. It says every praise is to. Everybody put one of those really, you know, it's a Jesus song. And then when you don't want to answer it because it's a telemarketer and you don't want to lie and say you're not there, you know, so you can't answer it. So it's got to play the whole song. It's really kind of funny. Like I'm a TJ Maxx and I don't want to answer it because I know it's a telemarketer. So on my phone's always on loud. So it's like, every praise is to our God. Every, I'm just ringing, yeah, buy this. Yeah, it's a telemarketer. I don't want to answer. You go, da, 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 da. Then you always got somebody for you going, yes, sister. Yes, sister. Woo! You know, you're like, y'all can witness and confess Jesus without doing anything but have a phone that rings. Amen. If you want to, call people. Hey, in 5 minutes, call me. I'm not going to answer, but don't just let it ring the whole time so my whole song gets out there. That's for the shy. That's for the shy evangelist. Everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will also confess him before the angels of God. But he that denies me before man shall be denied before the angels of God. Everyone who shall say a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. Praise God. But this part. But the one blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, it will never be forgiven. Okay, so if the devil's telling you right now you've blasphemed Jesus, then that's a lie. Once you blaspheme, you are so disconnected from hearing the voice of God, you will never come under conviction. You'll go under complete torment. So you don't have to worry about it. You definitely wouldn't be in a church, not a church like this. And why would you listen to the devil anyway? That's one of the things the devil takes people's sound minds with. He takes people's sound minds with this scripture all the time and makes them think they've blasphemed. Okay, God's not going to do that. God's not going to go, hey, you can't get in. You blaspheme. You're never getting in. God's not like that. Amen? That's not in his nature, all right? He weeps. He grieves if someone blasphemes. But get this, when you blaspheme, you literally tell God to get out of your heart. You want nothing to do with him, and you want to live for the devil. Just like Judas did, okay? It's not something you're going to do easily. But I think some people will do it or it wouldn't be in there. But there's actually, I think, another scripture too that went along with what the Lord was saying. But I'll find it this week. When I start looking at it, I see like how I could really preach it. You know, I'm like, oh, I start seeing pictures and all this. And it's like, okay, I can't do a Reader's Digest version when I'm not supposed to. So we'll wait. So Lord, we just come before you. And Lord, give us such boldness to confess you before men. Lord, full of love for you, full of love, full of excitement about how real you are, full of joy to reveal to others how real you are, how good you are, how loving you are. Father, please forgive us for ever trying to witness you in a way to try to condemn people. Lord, forgive us for ever witnessing out of fear. Let us witness out of love for you and faith in your power to save. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. No weapon formed against my family is going to prosper in Jesus' name. Lord, you are so powerful and mighty. I feel your presence so strong in this place. Father, we just say yes to you. We just say yes to you. We want to begin to confess you more than ever before people. We want you, Lord, to just, Holy Spirit, just give us that little nudge, like, talk about me now, show me now. Lord, just begin to give us opportunities to speak about you, Lord, and how wonderful you are and the great love we have for you. Thank you for preparing us, Lord. Thank you that the bride prepares herself. Thank you, Lord, that we're here preparing ourselves led by your Spirit. Lord, thank you for this hour that we're in. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let us shine. Let us shine, Lord. We just lay down all of our idols, God. As long as we have you, we have more than enough. Nothing is greater than a relationship with God. Nothing is greater than being prepared to be the bride of Jesus Christ. Nothing. Lord, may we shine in this hour. May we shine in this hour. Lord, change our hearts. Change my heart. Change my heart to one, Lord, that just cannot help but rescue people from darkness, that has such a desire to pull them into light, into love. Lord, just help me with that. Help me with that, Lord. Get rid of all my own judgmental thinking. No one is too far from you that they can't be rescued. Let me see things the way you see things, Lord. Let me love the way you love, Lord. Let me warn the way that you would want people warned, Lord God. I just ask it in Jesus' name. Draw people. Lord, your word says that if we would lift up the name of Jesus, all men and women, all people would be drawn to you. Father, let us no longer lift up our pet doctrines. Let us no longer lift up our own testimonies even. Let us no longer lift up anything but the name of Jesus, anything but who you are and what you've done and how you love and how real you are. Father, your word says if we lift up the name of Jesus, they will be drawn to you. We just thank you, God. We thank you for drawing this younger generation. We thank you for drawing this younger generation. We thank you for disrupting, allowing this disruption of life so busy and overwhelmed with technology and overwhelmed with busyness and overwhelmed with shopping and overwhelmed with running here and there. Thank you, Lord, for using this season to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Thank you for restoring families, Lord God, during this time. Thank you, God, for slowing everything down in the midst of this shaking so we can find you and how real you are. And Lord, we say that we want to be the church that is essential. We are so essential. We are so essential. Lord, we ask you to save Virginia. And then we ask you to save our nation. We ask you to move by your Spirit upon the people in this nation in such a way, God, like no one has ever seen before, that only you, God, can get rid of this 50-50 split in this nation and bring a majority of this nation to their knees for you. We're one nation. We're going to stay one nation under a powerful, mighty God. The name of Jesus be lifted up over this nation. The name of Jesus be lifted up over the police officers in this nation. The name of Jesus be lifting up over all the government in this nation. The name of Jesus be lifted up over every people group in this nation. The name of Jesus be lifted up over every pregnancy in this nation. May the name of Jesus be lifted up. The name above every name. The name above racism, the name above hate, the name above poverty, the name above injustice, the name above self-righteousness, the name above every name. And at your name, let every knee bow, God. At your name, not at the national anthem, but at your name. Lord, at your name, God, that your name would ring out over everything in this nation. that knees would bow, that there would be visions and dreams. God, you promise in the last days that you will pour out your spirit on all flesh, that your children, Lord God, that our sons and our daughters would prophesy, Lord God, that they would have dreams and they would there'd be visions, Lord God, that you would make yourself known in a powerful way, Lord. We ask it for Virginia, then we ask it over our nation, and we ask it over our families, and we ask, Lord, that you do what only you can do. I forgive us, God, for ever thinking we could do what only you could do. You're going to save this nation. Ho! You're going to save Virginia. Ho! You're going to supernaturally, powerfully, and mightily save Virginia. I can't wait. It's so exciting. Thank you, God. Thank you for everything you're doing to do it. Thank you for every ministry involved. Thank you for every radio show and television show and social media thing. Thank you for all that you're doing, Holy Spirit. All that you're doing to win Virginia, to win this nation, God. Let us be a part of it, God. Father God, have your way in us, God. Thank you for getting a hold of all of our children, Lord God. Everyone's spouses and parents, Lord God, and brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews, Lord God. Let there be a move of your spirit over our families that'll amaze us, God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive us for thinking somehow we could find you, but they can't. We break the power of that, Lord God. It's not about us finding you, it's about you calling us. Thank you, Lord God. I just see right now the Lord wants you to begin to call out, and not loud or anything, but call out the names of those that you want him to call, that you want him to call, even as he called Samuel. So Father, I just thank you, and I call out the name of Michael and Mitchell, Lord God. I call out the name, Lord God, of my father and my mother. I just, everybody begin to call out those names. Call out those names. Lord, I just call out the names of my neighbors, Lord God. Call out the names, Lord God, of the spouses of the ones in this place whose spouses aren't saved, God. Call out the names. I call out the names of every child who's represented here by an adult, Lord God, that they would come to know you, Lord God. Father, I just thank you that nothing, nothing, nothing is beyond your reach. Whew. Pour out your spirit, God. Pour out your spirit on the mobile home park, God. Pour out your spirit, God. Pour out your spirit in Walmart. Pour out your spirit, God, at the beach. Pour out your spirit at Lowe's. Pour out your spirit, God. Pour out your spirit, God. Pour out your spirit. Spread across this nation so quickly that it'll make the chaos of 2020 look slow. We don't want to slow the spread of you, Lord God. We want an outpouring of your spirit that will saturate this nation. Let the blood of Jesus destroy the virus. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse. That healing just pour out, Lord God. We ask it in Jesus' name. We cry out. We pray for you to move, Lord God, by your spirit, to prepare your people, Lord God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, that you alone are going to do this by your grace. Grace, grace, we call on grace. By your grace, Lord God, turn Virginia around. By your grace, Lord God, save Virginia. By your grace, Lord God, stop the violence the enemy has planned here. By your grace, Lord God, let this be a state with such unity. It'll amaze everybody because it'll be by your blood. It'll be by your spirit. It'll be by your anointing. God, only you can do this. Heal the brokenhearted, Lord God. Heal the brokenhearted. Set the captives free. Open the eyes of the blind and set at liberty those who are completely demonized. God, only you can do it. Wow. But you can do it. And we're in agreement as touching with you tonight, God, that what you can do, you're going to do. And we're in agreement with you. And we say yes, God. We say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. There's no one in our families beyond your reach. None. You can get the worst of the worst and turn them into the greatest servant. Lord, break the power of our hypocrisy. Break the power of our judgmental thinking. Break the power of us trying to decide who can and who can't get saved. And move by your power, God, across Virginia. Across Hampton Roads, across this nation, God. Across this nation, God. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, open all the churches in this nation and fill them to overflow. Work in the hearts of the ministers, Lord. Work in the hearts of the ministers, Lord God, and the home ministers, and those will have to have people at their homes, and all that the overflow is going to take, Lord, that their hearts will be towards making disciples for you and not for themselves. Ho! Lord, fill up our houses so that there just be so many hungry people, that all the hobbies we've had to give up during this crazy 2020 chaos, that it'd be replaced with glorifying you and witnessing for you and discipling for you and doing what you want done. Lord, we just thank you for that. Fill this building up, Lord, with hungry people. Heal the hurt people. Bring in leaders. Bring in people who can preach and teach and share just where they are, Lord God. Do your God thing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Ooh, we feel your presence. You're amazing. You're awesome. You're wonderful. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Whoa, let me tell you something really cool. Those who know Caleb, he's a police officer now. And he has the whole Dimby area. He has from that corner to that corner of Dimby, Dimby, and all the way back to where it hits Fort Eustis. Out of the whole area of Dimby, the police break it down into zones. Our church and the trailer park is the safest zone in all of Dimby. They never have had a call here, anything. Is that amazing? That wasn't true when we bought this building. When we bought this building, the first day in this building, they did a drug deal right in the daytime in front of our building. We found marijuana growing in our grass. We had counterfeit money in the trash can outside. This is our first day here. We had a guy come in the door when she worked at the thrift store with a bullet in his back. I mean, when we first moved here. Now, across the way, it's not true, okay? We got to get that place. Remember last year when the Ravager was trying to come and we had to do all that intercession to stop him? We stopped him. Amen, we stopped him. When is the church going to rise up and take authority? When is churches in different areas going to come? The place over here, when we first moved in here, this is no kidding. The place over here that storage unit has been sold, it was a prostitution ring and a drug where they hid drugs. We actually had drug dealers who got saved and told us that's where they snatched all their stuff. Well, our first prayer meeting, we went out at like, it was like 2 a.m. We used to have really long prayer meetings. And there was prostitutes all out there with those little tight little pants all up to here, all their shoes up to here. Like they're like looking at us. We're like looking at them like. God, we begin to pray and intercede. God closed that whole thing down. I don't know if you know it. It was actually in the news because I asked Lord, show me. And I don't know if you remember this, but this was on the 700 Club. But there was this woman. I can't remember the whole story. But anyway, somebody broke into her house and they were going to kill her. And she actually got right with God during that. I think she was a drug addict before that. Like she had been saved, but then she was wayward. Anyway, in that time, she calmed this person down. He stayed there for a few days. And he ended up not killing her. She ended up talking him to turn himself in. She was able to get him to turn himself in. Well, he had just murdered, he was in court. He murdered a lawyer. He murdered a judge or something. I'm not great on details. But one of the guys that he murdered was a police inspector. And that inspector's last thing that he did, it's in the news report, was he closed down a prostitution and drug ring in Dimby at a storage unit. It had to be there. It had to be there. And God closed it down. And that was what this man did before he was shot and killed, wherever that was at. It wasn't local where that part happened. But what I'm saying is God gave us confirmation. Oh my gosh, it has to be here. And so they closed that whole thing down and cleaned it up and had new owners. And it's fine now. Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.